that you are the Lord of all. And God, we just stand in victory. We stand in faith. We thank you, Father, that we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. Bless, oh God, we pray, Father, this moment in time with you. And thank you for the liberty of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, smile with somebody and say hello to them. And you may be seated. Welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome. If you're watching on the internet, we want to say thank you for joining us and being a part of this great meeting. And everyone that's here tonight, wow, what a great time in God. Hey, I got to tell you today, there's a lot of excitement building about the Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I tell you, we were at the Love Center today, and we were passing out tickets, weren't we? And I think we passed out 500 more tickets of people that wanted to come and be a part of the production. I just got off the phone prior to this service, and a very dear Christian brother attends the services in the East, Gary and Patty. They own Northern Ohio Printing. He said, Pastor, I will print 10,000 postcards for you for free if you'll mail them. So we are going to go ahead and mail out 10,000 invitations to our mailing address to those that are just out there and inviting them to come and be a part of this production. And listen to this, he's also going to print for us a big banner that goes on the side of our box truck so we can drive it around, and everywhere we go we can park it and people can see that it's coming. That's awesome, isn't it? I mean, I'll tell you what, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. How many are believing that some of your family, friends, coworkers are going to be saved? Anybody? Okay. Here's what we want to do. I'm letting you in on it early. Sunday night, we have our last September to Remember service. It's right here in Lorain. Last week, we were in Valley View, had a great service. And I want you to bring a wallet-size photograph of the person that you're believing that will be saved. And we're going to put them up here on the altar, and we're going to just bring them to church before they come to church, right? By faith, we're going to believe it. And we've done this in the past, and it's a powerful tool of faith to believe God that they're going to be a part of it. So that's Sunday night. Bring that with you. And it's exciting to know what God is doing about the Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, because that is just reminiscent of the old trip to hell, isn't it? And we got people calling and saying, you know, can we bring a bus? And say, well, yeah, you can bring a bus. Sure, bring a bus, but make sure it's full. And it's exciting. So, hey, you all, you fed again over 100 families today. Isn't that amazing? Every week, 100 or plus more families are being fed because you love and you give towards the Feed the Hungry. You know that little section on your envelope? That helps us buy food, as well as we receive food from the government and other places. And these people are blown away when they walk in there. They are so loved. And it's an interesting thing. I had some great conversations with people today. One gentleman said, I said, hey, why don't you come to our church? He goes, I've been there once. I said, you were there once? He goes, yeah, and I had a bad experience. I said, you did? I said, I'm sorry. I said, was I preaching? He goes, yeah, and all you talked about was money. I said, really? I sometimes even forget to take the offering. Are you kidding me? You know? And so we back and forth, sparring back and forth. And I said, turn around and look at that sign on the door. It said Love Center. I said, you know why this Love Center is here? Besides Pam and Tom had this vision. And you know where the money comes from to buy this food? I said, from the people in the church. So it's not too bad then, is it? Because you're here getting food. So we were toucheing back and forth for a while. He got a little spunky on me. I had to fight back, you know. I mean, I did it in love, but I had to let him know, hey. So I invited him to come back to church and be a part of the service here. And it's an interesting time. So if you ever get a chance, come on out. But if you can't come, we need your plastic grocery bags. How many have a bunch of them at home that you don't know what to do with? Bring them. Give them to the church. We'll take them down there. We're running out. And you know what? Stores won't give us any. So we're going to have to just gather them. And if you bring them in, we'll make sure they get over there. Okay? So bring them this weekend. All your bags. I brought ours, Tina, this morning. I grabbed them up out of the garage and I brought them and I had them in the car. And it's a good thing because we were running out this morning, right? And that we were running out. Okay, I'm going to continue my Christian home series. Is that okay? How many want to live in a Christian home? I don't want to live in a secular home. Come on. If I'm going to go to church and claim Christianity, I'm going to live in a Christian home, right? So that's what we're going to do. This is the third in our series. And here's my title. She feels like a woman. Oh, wow. Look at that. I didn't make that. Somebody made that. But that's the title. How to Make Your Lady Feel Like a Woman. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 5 and 25. If you have a Bible, go out to the verse there. And I want to read it together. It says, husbands, love your wives. Watch this. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Gave himself for her. You know, there's an admonition there about men having to reach a level of love that I have to tell you took me, and I'm still working on it, years to reach. You got to dig down deep. To love like Christ loved, whoo, you really have to do some homework and you have to die to self to get to that level. But if God wouldn't have said it, if he didn't think we could do it, right? So we have to aspire to it. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 is my next scripture. It says this, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And I think that is a good question to ask us and ourselves, especially as men. Where are we? Where are we in our relationship to God? Where are we in our relationship to one another? God wanted to know about Adam's condition. He wanted to know about his whereabouts. He wanted to know about what he was doing and how he was relating to those in his life. So he asked the question, where are you? So let me pose it to all of us tonight. Where are you with God? Where are you with the Word? Where are you with the Holy Spirit? Where are you with your relationships with other people? Are you in right relationships? Or is there unforgiveness? Is there strife? Is there contention? Is there distance between you and God? And so it's good to ask that question. Where am I with God and with one another? But notice something, that when trouble occurred in the garden, when there was a problem in the garden, when Eve, you know, fell and Adam fell, guess who God came looking for? Adam. He didn't come in there and say, hey, Eve, where's that crazy man you're married to? He said, Adam, where art thou? Eve was not even mentioned because God looked at Adam as the one that was responsible. He was the covering under God. It was his role. It was his responsibility. So God really directed his question to Adam. So I have to direct this question tonight to every man that's in this room and listening to my voice. Where are you with God? And where are you with your wife and family? It's important to know that, because these are qualities that are inside every man. These qualities of love, these qualities of sacrifice that once cultivated make for an exciting and vibrant relationship with the people that are in your life. But they have to be cultivated. You know, you can have a field out there and it's got potential to grow crops, but you've got to cultivate it. You got to break up the fallow ground. You've got to fertilize it. You have to get it ready. You have to prepare it. You have to plant seed into it. And every one of our lives, there is no reason why we cannot be transformed into the image of Christ as a man who operates in his home on the level of Jesus. How many would like to aspire to that, guys? Come on, huh? How many of you would like to do that? I'd like to do that. Every man should know the basic needs of a woman and strive to meet those needs on a daily basis. Now, I know there's a lot of people that will laugh about this and they'll say, you know, there's no way I could ever figure out the woman in my life. I mean, she's half crazy half the time, you know. Or I can't figure out. No, when I think I got her figured out, bam, she takes a left turn. Listen, I believe that there is basic needs of a woman created in the image of God, that every man can find that basic need and meet those basic needs. Because that's how God created us. So we got to talk about 2 points before we really get into this. Number one, you got to learn how to be an encourager to the lady in your life. You got to learn how to be an encourager to the people in your life. Every man should never burden a woman with your attitude, with your moods, with your voice, with your mannerisms. Everything about you ought to be an encourager and never a discourager, because that's how God created us to be. So put that down first of all. Always learn how to be an encourager. And secondly, men have to learn how to develop the art of listening. The art of listening. These are two qualities that are very attractive to women. When you can be an encourager and you can be a listener, it begins to cause that which God has deposited in that woman to begin to mature and blossom and make her all that God wanted her to be. Now, not just hear words, because a lot of times women can talk a lot, right? I mean, come on, girls, you know you can talk a lot. You can say like da 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 da, and we say the same thing and going da da da. You know, that's just how we are. It's how we're wired. However, as men, we're not trying to listen to every word, because if all you're doing is listening to the words that are being spoken, you're missing the point. There's something beneath the words that you got to hear. And the art of listening is to hear the intent and the desire of the heart that's trying to be conveyed by the words. If all you're doing is listening to the words, you'll get confused. Believe me, I've been there. I've done that. I'll hear something Tina will say and I'll react to it. I'll go, we can't do that. We can't afford that. That's not something that's possible. Why are you saying that? That's just putting stress and pressure on me. She goes, I'm not saying that. I said, yes, you are. I just heard you say that. My problem is I wasn't listening. I was listening to words and I didn't go deep enough to listen to the desire and the intent of her heart. And once I tune into the intent and the desire of the heart, I can respond accordingly, and it brings the relationship back to unity. Most of us as men, girls, give us some time, we didn't learn how to do that. And it needs to be taught. If ever we need to learn it, it's today. Because our families are under a lot of stress. Our relationships are under a lot of stress simply because men are not encouragers. And number two, we don't know how to listen. We don't go down deep enough. We need to listen to the thought and the intention and the desire of the heart. Now, in order to remain interesting, how many of you want to remain interesting as a man to your lady? I want to remain interesting. I want to have a little intrigue about me. I want to walk through the room and her like wonder what I'm doing. Got to keep them guessing a little bit, you know. Don't disclose fully all the time. Well, in order to remain interesting, you've got to align your thoughts, your words, your actions, and your motives consistently with the Word of God. This is a constant challenge for every man, because we are so visually stimulated, it's easy for us to get out of alignment. Now, what do I mean by that? Spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit in relationship to the Spirit of God. Our souls employed by the thoughts and the emotions that the Spirit of God solicits. And our body carrying out like a vehicle the very will of God. That's proper alignment. Improper alignment is when my body is leading the way because all of its appetites and its desires are paramount, it's forefront, then it solicits my soul based on the emotion that is aroused and created. And so now I include my will, I enslave my will, and I command my body to fulfill that will. That's why we have to stay in proper alignment. So as men, Bella, this is a huge challenge to stay in alignment. Your thoughts, your actions, your motives, your desires with the Word of God. And that's a constant process of inventory. You know, if you're a business owner and you're trying to sell goods or services, you got to know what you have on the shelf and what's selling and what's not. And you have to order ahead of time and not miss a sale. You have to evaluate constantly. And so we always have to take inventory and not just allow our lives to just meander through the day after day after day. Meanwhile, the people in our life are suffering. We have to stay sharp. We have to stay in training. We have to stay ready. We have to look at each day as an opportunity to bring those connected to us in our life to their fulfilled destiny. That's my assignment. everybody I meet, everybody I talk to, anybody I encounter. I don't have to have a long-standing relationship with them. It doesn't matter. When I was standing at the door today, Tom, at the Love Center, and people came through and I asked them their first name, and I asked them how many children they had under 17, how many adults in the house, how many people over 60, have you been here before? That's all I ask. But in that, I saw an opportunity to connect with them, to contribute to the fulfillment of their destiny. And I would try to take advantage of it. Understand something. Life is not all about you. And men seem to think it is most of the time. Don't get mad at me, guys, okay? It's okay. All right, here we go. I want to give you five areas you must learn and commit to in order to make your woman your lady. Number one, you need to learn how to be affectionate. Learn how to be affectionate. Most men have no clue of how to be affectionate. When I say be affectionate, if I were to ask every man, these three men to stand up here, give me a definition of affection. Mr. James just went like that. I don't know about that. Bill said, don't call on me. And Hans, he's acting like he's busy and he's writing down something. So he's not really into it either. But if I were to ask you, give me a definition of what affection is. Most of us would struggle. We don't know, you know, what it is, let alone how to do it. So let's talk about it for a minute. Learn early in your relationships with the opposite sex, guys, that women are relational creatures. They are relational. What does that mean? They long for the aspect or the qualities that make good relationships better. It helps that they enjoy life when relationships are developing and maturing. They feel more secure when relationships are sound and there's not friction or there's not division or strife in those relationships. It's an insatiable appetite of a woman because they are built relational. They relish in this area and they love to see it operate with you or within you. When they see you value relationships and you serve the relationships that's important to them, for example, the way to a woman's heart is through her children. If you love her children, relate to her children, because her children's relationship is really important to her. And if you catch on to that and you serve that relationship and enhance that relationship, she opens her heart to you. But do the opposite, and she closes her heart to you because she is so relational. Let me give you a definition of the word affection, okay? So you guys are wondering about it. These three guys on the front row here. Here we go. Are you ready? The state of having one's feelings and mind influence are moved. I like those two words. Influence are moved. The state of having one's feelings and mind influenced are moved. I have to strive through affection to influence my wife and move her. Move her emotionally. How? By kindness, tenderness, and sensitivity. Affection is not necessarily an act as much as it is an attitude. So I want to be engrossed in kindness, tenderness, and sensitivity. It also means this: showing warmth, love, and concern. For example, if your wife comes home and she says, honey, I got bad news. I said, what's the matter? Well, I didn't stop at the stop sign and I went out. I was my mistake and I got hit and the whole side of the car is smashed in. And, the, you know, the rear view mirrors, the side mirror is dangling like this. And it doesn't, we have to go see Tom. We have to fix this thing. To show warmth, love, and concern at that moment is affection. To show kindness, tenderness, and sensitivity at that moment is true affection. It is what draws the feelings, the emotions, the relational need out of a woman at that moment. But if you start lecturing her like you're her father, and you're scolding her, and you say, go in your room, you're in a timeout. That's not affection. It's at those moments you and I have to harness our emotions and understand why we're on the earth. We're here as a peacemaker. We're here as one who stands between the enemy who's trying to destroy her and the devil. And so I have to stand between them and say, no, she is already feeling as if she failed. And I'm going to step in with affection and move her and influence her that God has her covered. Now, let's talk a little bit more about affection. The main means of accomplishing this is ascribing to a servant's mentality. You might want to write that down. Every man in here needs to learn how to be a servant to his lady. Not only acts of service, but a mindset of service. So, I liked it the other day when Tina was telling me, because we have a couple of rituals that we do, and she was visiting her sister in Virginia. She said she got up in the morning, and she was looking around, and her sister wasn't bringing her coffee. It's like, where's my coffee? Because at home, she never has to worry about coffee. Because I'm the coffee servant. And so I know what she likes, how she likes it. And matter of fact, when it comes out of the pot, it's not quite hot enough. It needs 30 more seconds in the microwave because she likes it that level. She likes to drink it with a straw. And I know the certain cups that she likes. And so as soon as she comes down the steps, her foot doesn't even hit the floor, and I put it in her hand. And I said, good morning. And there's a servant's mentality that I have because I'm trying to communicate to her affection. I'm trying to influence her and move her with my affection. I have to ascribe to a servant's mentality, putting her needs ahead of my needs, putting her desires ahead of my desires, right? For example, if there's one piece of pumpkin pie left, guess who gets it? Me. No, she does. She does. And I say, hey, would you like a piece of pie? She goes, oh, no, you take it. I said, oh, no, I really didn't want any. I want you to take it. Now, the problem is when you're both trying to be servers, nobody gets the pie. Because she wants you to have it. No, you have it. No, you take it. No, you have it. Forget it. We'll just throw it out. You know. Affection means never holding a grudge. To be affectionate, you can't hold grudges. You can't remain angry. Notice I said remain angry. We're all going to get angry. But affection will not permit you to remain angry so as to punish your lady. A lot of times men revert to this because it's that machoism in us that say, I'm going to make you pay for what you did. I'm not talking to you. I'm going to treat you rudely. I'm going to be short with you. And you're going to know that I'm still mad at you. That's not affection. You're not moving her and you're not influencing her. You're actually moving her away from you. You're moving her away from you. Remember, it takes practice to become proficient in anything. So ask, how is it that I can be a servant to you? How can I become more affectionate to you? And then begin to work on it. Your carnal nature will never want to comply with this. Because your carnal nature will say, she ought to be serving me. When's somebody going to get my coffee? And I asked myself that this morning. I said, where's my coffee? And God said, you make it. I said, no, but why can't you send somebody to make it for me? How about just once a year? And you have to be careful. You have to guard against the fact that your assignment and your role is in relationship to those that God's put in your life. And be comfortable with that. And embrace that. And resist the self-pity parties of woe is me and what about me. And God will take care of you. Let me just tell you something. Let me give you a little secret, guys. When ladies are moved and influenced in their emotion as a result of affection, it's all good. Let me just say that, okay? It's going to be all good, all right? Write that down on your paper. All good, all right? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, all right. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32. Paul was admonishing the church at Ephesus, and he was really giving us some basic instruction for affection. He was saying this, in other words, choose the right word. He said, let no corrupt communication or word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt one, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. So now I have the ability to impart grace. And I want my family, those in relationship to me, to operate in grace. So it's up to me now to choose that process. Then he goes on to say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So when I'm not operating in that mentality, when I'm not operating in affection, when I'm not moving and influencing my lady and others in my life this way, I'm actually grieving the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what it's saying. He's saying that don't grieve the Holy Spirit in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. There is the definition of affection. No matter what your mood is at the moment. And I know men can be moody. I'm moody. I can go from everything all right to all of a sudden it's not all right. And you can ask me, why are you like that? I'm saying, I don't know. Would you leave me alone? I want to be moody right now. And everybody in the house has to adjust. Listen, in spite of your mood for the moment, you got to lay hold to the admonition of being affectionate, tenderhearted, and kind toward those in your life. It's absolutely a command of God. And the Spirit of God is going to have to take precedence in your relationship when you are addressing your spouse or you're addressing your children or those that are important to you in your life. Never take a relationship for granted. God, there are gifts from God. People are gifts from God. Doesn't matter where they've come from. I was telling Tina that today, you know, as we were standing there, and you know some of the people that come through there probably work the system, right, Tom? Yeah, they work the system. But it doesn't matter because we're not there judging their motives. I'm standing there allowing God to judge mine. And it's a big difference. We don't want to relate to people the way they relate to us. That's not how God relates to us. He loved us and demonstrated his love for us even while we were yet sinners. He died for us. He didn't say, well, if you're good enough today, I'll go to the cross. He said, you're a stinker and I'll still die for you. So it's all about our consistency. And God sees in them value. And I was telling Tina, I said, every one of those people are created in the image of God. And I could easily disqualify them because of their poor choices, because they're still smoking or they're still drinking or because of this or because of that or because of this. But you know what? God doesn't disqualify them. And neither does God disqualify your wife when she messes up. Writes a check and there wasn't enough in the checking. And what were you thinking? She wasn't thinking. So now, does that qualify you to get on her case and to pull affection from her? No, it's when she needs it the most. So no matter the mood of the moment, God wants our attitudes toward our partners to be influenced by kindness, moved by tenderness and sensitivity. And you have to constantly evaluate yourself here. You've got to constantly evaluate your progress. You know, I don't know why we think that we can have a successful relationship, a successful marriage. You know, you take 6, 7 years, 8 years, and you go to school to become a neurosurgeon, and you get married with no training, have children, raise them, have no idea what you're doing. You just hope it works. We don't consult the Bible. We don't ever try to evaluate our progress. We don't ever ask, go to school. I mean, we don't try to get trained. We don't even read a book on it. We're just like a daisy. Loves me not. I hope this works. Maybe it won't. I hope it works and maybe it won't. No, there are principles in God's word that can make it work and make it work every time. But we have to consult God's word. Number two, communication. Communication is linked to a woman's need for a close and moving relationship. You can't have a close and moving relationship where there's no communication. How can you have a close and moving relationship with God if you don't talk? Guys, why don't we talk? Why don't we express our feelings? Well, if you can tie communication to affection and realizing you're trying to move and influence that woman in your life by your tenderness, kindness, and acts of forgiveness, now you can employ those in your language. You can use words that you're now communicating on that level. So communication and affection go together. Communication is related to affection and it meets the need of every person in life. You just, doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been doing it. I met with Brenda. Brenda's right over here, and you may not know Brenda. Brenda's sitting there. Wave at us, Brenda. Brenda's getting ready to go to her Ashland Theological Seminary for her PhD in counseling. And I just met her. We just talked a little bit. She's here from St. Louis. A lot of things going on. But she shared with me some things. You used words tonight. You communicated to me. And it built me up and it moved me and it influenced me because you were affectionate in your wording. It could be on any level of relationship if we understand the power of words. But if you don't use words, how can you communicate affection? You understand what I'm talking about? So guys, we have to stir it up. We have to learn how to do this. Communication is directly linked to the trust factor. If there's no communication, and if affection is lacking, there's no trust. And if there's no trust, there's no relationship. Realize that communication has a purpose other than just regurgitating facts. How'd you do today? Great. How did you do? Great. What did you do? Well, I went over here. Where'd you go? I went over here. No, that's not communication. Communication has to be on the level of affection. And affection is where you move and influence the person in their deepest part of their soul. How do we do that? By tenderness, kindness, and forgiveness, and employing those kind of words on that level, right? So it's all tied together. So communication is directly linked to the trust factor. And realize that communication has a purpose other than just factual information. When you communicate, you are creating something. You are creating a trust. And you are meeting a need that makes the lady in your life feel secure. Did you know that's one of the basic needs of a woman is security? And when a woman is insecure, you are in trouble. A woman that's insecure will tend to control and manipulate and do whatever they have to do to get security. And now you're on the outside looking in going, man, this woman, she is hard to get along with. Well, if we just learn how to back up and use words and communicate, level of affection, you're going to see that she's going to begin to feel secure. Communication works best when you make your lady your best friend, not just your wife. That includes shared interests. What do you like to do? I want to learn about it. Oh, my wife, that's what she does. She does this, and this is my thing. This is what I do. We're both at peace. I do my thing. She does her thing. Why don't you switch for a week? Why don't you put her apron on and let her put on your machine shop gear? And then have communication. You'll have much better communication. I learned a long time ago the 6 means of communication. I learned this at Emerge Ministries. Dr. Richard Dobbins and Brenda and I were talking about that in counseling. It's where I received a lot of our early training in counseling ministry, pastoral care, pastoral counseling. He said there's 6 ways of communicating: what you say, what you thought you said, and what you wanted to say. Then on the hearing side, there's what you heard, what you thought you heard, and what you wanted to hear. And if I'm saying what I thought I said and you're hearing what you want to hear, we're not communicating even though we're exchanging words. You follow what I'm saying? And this is a big breakdown because we're not deep enough. All we're doing is trying to interpret and define terms. We're not trying to interpret and define intent and desire of the heart. You got to go deeper. You got to go to the desire and the intent of the heart. And that's what God does. God doesn't look on the outward side of the man. He looks at the heart. So I got to hear your heart talk while your mouth is flapping. You get what I'm saying? I got to kind of ignore the words. I got to go down deeper. And I got to be able to interpret this by the Spirit of God. Okay, God, this is a tongues and interpretation. I can understand what she's saying, but you know what? What she's saying is not necessarily what I'm hearing. Because she's saying something different than I'm hearing. And so I've got to now be able to get down below that and hear what she is attempting to say. All right. Let me give you the next one. Honesty and openness. We're talking about 5 additives in any relationship, but especially a man towards a woman, the lady that'll turn her into a woman. It's what women want. They want honesty. They want openness. They don't want you to be a liar. They don't want you to cover things up. They don't want you to conceal. They don't want you to blow things up. They don't want you to tell a falsehood. Now that affection and communication have been established, you have to build into the relationship honesty. Just being honest with each other. Honesty is irresistible to a woman because it produces trust. There we go back to trust again. What builds a relationship? Trust. And when trust is broken, it's hard to have a relationship. When I can't trust you, how do I have a relationship with you? So a lack of trust is going to breed a lack of confidence, which ultimately leads to insecurity. And an insecure woman is a dangerous thing. An insecure anybody is a dangerous thing. If you make a young person insecure, they could be 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. They're not receiving affection. There's not any communication in their life. They're not being, nobody's being open and honest with them. They're insecure. They're going to take matters into their own hands, and they're probably going to be a rebel, and they're going to go out in the street and shoot up and steal and do whatever they have to do to make their life count and be secure. Our problems that we have today with the generation that's coming behind us, we've got a lot of streetwise kids. I mean, it's all over the news. I heard a guy the other day say, when I was a kid, he's 50-some years old, when I was a kid, we got a problem, we've had a fight, you beat me up, I beat you up. Today, if you beat me up, I go get a gun, I shoot you and kill you. You see the escalation of that, and it's all because we're insecure, because we're not having communication, there's no affection in our life, we're not being open, we're not being honest with one another. We are in trouble. And we as God's people ought to lead the way in this. This is what ought to be attractive to us, to those outside the church, is the fact that we've learned these skills. We operate on this level. This is how we build relationships. We just don't sing on Sunday, hold hands, sway back and forth, kumbaya, Lord, kumbaya, roast hot dogs and marshmallows and sing spiritual songs and quote verses. That's so superficial. We have a true relationship because we understand how to move and influence others with true, genuine affection. We don't hold grudges. We're not unforgiving. We're not having strife and conflict with one another, and then we leave and go to another church because we can't stand those people over there. Then there's just way too much of that. No wonder the world's going, you know what, this love thing, this church thing, it's hypocrisy. It's not true. It doesn't work. It's not working in your marriage. It's not working in your church. When in reality, the facts are the facts. You guys don't have it. How would I want it? So we have to begin to just demonstrate this. Be quick to admit when you're wrong. Are you wrong ever? No, not me. Yeah, you are. There's times you're wrong. And pride, fear, or your own insecurity will often prevent you from becoming open and honest. A poor self-image can also be a hindrance, afraid to reveal the real you. And ladies, this is where you got to help your man. You know, we want to reveal the real us, but we're afraid because if we reveal the real us, we may feel like you don't want us then. So we had to put on something. We have to try to be what this world tells us we have to be or what we think that you want from us. We don't want to appear weak or we don't want to appear soft. And so we have to try to put on this facade, and it's hard to live up to something that's not real. Being open means transparent. If you have difficulty being open, explain that to your person in your relationship. Hey, I have a hard time being transparent. You know, tell your spouse, look, I'm unable to be open and transparent because I've never been able to trust anyone before. When I've been transparent and open with others, they've taken advantage of me. They've used it against me. They use it as ammunition to defame me and to slander me and hurt me and crush me. That's why I'm having a hard time with this. You got to just come open and bare to that relationship, because that relationship will never reach the level of God's expectation in your life unless you do. And you go through life just angry. You go through it hardened and living in a shell, and you never really enjoy 100%. You grow further apart. Your relationship with your children go further apart because they're learning how to be affectionate from you, Dad. You learn affection from your father. That's interesting, isn't it? Affection doesn't come from mom's little tender touches, although that's important. This communicates love, but affection is taught to the son by the father's affection to his own spouse. And we're so deficient in affection and communication being open and honest, we're raising children that are handicapped. We expect them to go into a relationship that's going to be successful. And when they get a divorce and when it crashes and burns, we think, man, I guess that's just the way the generations are. No, it's not the way the generations are. It's because we're not employing God's principles. Take one step at a time. Realize most men are challenged in this area, guys, girls. You got to realize that. We're all kind of handicapped in the area of being transparent. Number four, financial support. Every woman loves a man that has a job. That's, jobs are important, right, girls? Bring home the bacon, baby. I'll cook it, but you got to bring it home. You know, I've got to have some money. Demonstrate godly character by your financial responsibility. Let me say that again. You demonstrate godly character by your financial responsibility. Irresponsible in the area of finances shows you don't have godly character. Can I be so bold as to say that? Money is tied to a lady's security. When she feels her home and nest is vulnerable, she'll become offensive and begin to be defensive in order to maintain the nest. The nest to her is more important than you. She will always choose her children. If you push her, if you don't bring home the worm, if you're not doing your job, if you're not putting your time on the egg, she will do it herself because that egg is too important to her. That nest is too important to her. She's got to choose her children. Don't make her choose. That's not fair to her. That puts her in an emotional turmoil. And all because why? We're not fulfilling our responsibility. Be a tither. Be a tither. Financial responsibility. Be a tither. I'm going to talk a little bit about this in the next upcoming weeks, about getting rebellion out of our home. I'm going to talk about how the mold, when the priest saw mold in a home, he had to go back and inspect it, and he had to clean it out. And if the mold was still there, he had to tear the whole house down. Or leprosy. Listen, rebellion is like a mold. Rebellion is like a leprosy. You've got to clean it out of your house. If there's rebellion in your house, it is going to provide a pathway to what the Bible calls a dry land. We'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead. But you don't want to live life in a dry land. It's like building a house in the Sahara Desert. Land is cheap, but nothing grows there. And did you know if you're not a tither, you are welcoming rebellion into your house, and now you wonder why your children are rebellious. It's because you're rebellious. Did I say that? Didn't mean to. Become educated in what is required to operate a household. For example, be aware of prices of items that are a necessity in the home and not a luxury. Did you know what it cost to buy women's things? You know, I just gave you $25 last week. What'd you do with that money? Well, honey, come to the store with me and find out how much it cost. Look. Recession-proof. We just saw it on the news the other night. Guess what the most recession-proof cosmetic is on the market today? You'll never guess. Guess what it is? Fingernail polish. How did you know? Did you see that? Okay, you saw it. 66% increase in sales over last year. Fingernail polish! Are you kidding me? How many of you girls have fingernail polish on? Let me see your hand. There you go. 66% increase in sales. But guys, you have to be sensitive to the fact those things cost money. And you can't blow up when the money's gone because you spent money on a fingernail polish. It's what girls do. If you didn't know that before you got married, you should have stayed single. They do fingernail polish. They do hair stuff. It's what they do. I don't do hair stuff. I don't do fingernail polish. But she does. And they learn it early. My little granddaughter Emma was over before church, and we brought her to church tonight. Tina was getting ready for church, and guess where she went? Upstairs in the bedroom with Nana. Nana was putting on makeup. What is Emma doing? She's putting on makeup. Nana was putting on lipstick. What did she do? She put on lipstick. Even got down here on her chin, but she put it on. I was fixing up my hair in the bathroom, and it doesn't look like it, but I was, and she came in, and I put on a little cologne, and I said, Emma, would you like a little bit of cologne to smell good? She goes, ooh, that's for boys. I said, really? It smells pretty good. Smell it. She didn't want to smell it. Finally, she smelled it. She went, ooh, that's yucky or something. So about 60 seconds later, she came walking into the bathroom with a spray bottle of Tina's perfume. She goes, Papa, this is for girls. Now, she's only 5, so they get it early. So guys, understand that this is part of them being a woman. Go with the flow. Secondly, learn how to invest for the future. As a man, to build security in your wife, in your finances, you have to have investments for your future. What happens if you were to die? How would that leave your spouse? Is she going to be taken care of? Is there enough money to bury you? Have you got a life insurance policy? You paid the premiums? What about emergency fund? Do you have one? What happens if the water tank goes out, the car blows up, and all those things? Do you have an emergency fund? Do you have like $4,000 in an account somewhere that's just for emergency? You're not creating financial stability if you're not. What about staying out of debt? What about sharing your life financial goals together? That includes a budget. How about retirement? How about other expenditures outside the normal operations of the home and family? That is our responsibility as men. And that brings security, that brings peace, that brings affection, communication, openness, and honesty with the relationship. And we don't get that. We don't somehow connect those dots. But we need to lead the way in savings in order to draw from times of immediate and unplanned need. Let me tell you something about marriage. You will always have immediate and unplanned needs. Let me tell you about life. There will always be immediate and unplanned needs. How many know that's true, right? So you've got to plan for it. Don't think you're going to go through life with no immediate or emergency needs. So you budget your household, you make $1,000 a week, and after that $1,000 a week, you've got everything spent, $999.99, which includes no retirement, no savings, no emergency fund. All you're doing is just paying for all your stuff. And you think, well, we'll be okay, because we got one penny left, honey. Well, you didn't plan for the immediate need and the emergency. Oh, we're not going to have any of those. We're walking by faith. You are a fool. And all you're doing is setting up your family for strife, stress, disaster, and destruction. All right, number five, commitment. I talked about four things tonight. I talked about affection and what that is and how it's tied to communication, how openness and honesty is so important. I talked about financial responsibility. But on top of that, number one, the capstone for everything is commitment. What is commitment? How does a man demonstrate commitment? I often ask this question of couples when I'm doing some counseling or I'm interviewing them for marriage. I'll say to them this, I'll ask the gentleman this question, how did you know as a boy growing up that your father loved your mother? And often the response is, well, he went to work, he paid the bills, came home, gave mom money for groceries. I said, okay, that doesn't count. Tell me how else you knew as a boy growing up that your father loved your mother. I don't know. Was there affection in the house? I don't know. What is that? Was there openness and honesty? I don't know. Was there transparency? Was there financial responsibility? I don't know, but I didn't know it. See, a child needs to be exposed to these. And the commitment is that you are demonstrating these things. If you don't demonstrate these things, it is our responsibility to demonstrate them. For example, as a pastor of this church, I have to demonstrate to you that I pray and I read my Bible every day. You need to know that. You need to feel confident. You know what? One of the highest compliments that Brenda gave me tonight was, I know that you are sincere, you're transparent. She said something about like that. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I really liked what you said, so that's why I'm telling everybody what you said. She said, I can tell that you really love God and you go deep in the Word. How does she know that? Because I've demonstrated that. How do I demonstrate that? By my actions, by my words, by my relationship. Guys, you got to demonstrate your commitment. If you're not demonstrating in these other four aspects, commitment is lacking. And where there's not commitment, there's suspicion. And when there's suspicion, there's distrust. And where there's distrust, there's going to be a breakdown. Although these things are important, they're expected. You can begin by showing interest in each of your children. I think to demonstrate commitment, the first thing is, are you committed to your kids? Are you committed to what your kids are committed to? Are you committed to your grandchildren and their success? Be the teacher of the Word of God in your home. Don't allow your wife to do it. It's not her responsibility. It's your responsibility. You're the priest of the home. Be the teacher. Genesis 18:19. I've known him in order that he may command his children, his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Guys, it's your responsibility. God was talking to Abraham. He wasn't talking to Sarah. Isn't that something? Sarah's not even mentioned in that scripture. I mean, read it. He's talking to Abraham, the father of faith, the big kahuna, the number one, the patriarch. He's saying, I want you to teach your kids. Commitment is witness when a lady sees the interest you show in her and what is important to her. What is important to the lady in your life? What's important to her? Is a clean house important to her? Well, then help. What else is important to her? Is her children important to her? Then make that a priority in your life. What else is important to her? So you have to evaluate constantly, is my focus on what's important or is my focus only on what's urgent? And the tyranny of the urgent is this. The urgent will always cry for your time, but the important will be silently standing along the sidelines waiting for your attention, which normally if all you do is give yourself to the urgent things, it will never be serviced. And the important things are what make life good. The urgent things never make life good. You understand what I'm talking about? And we are slaves to the urgent. Oh, I got this problem. Oh, I got this situation. Oh, I got to go take care of this. No, I got a flat tire. Blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you just have to let the urgent scream and say, look, talk to the hand because I'm not listening, and go over there and deal with the important things in life. Sometimes the important thing in life, although you could go to a church service, or although you could go do this, or you could go to do that, maybe it's just go to your baseball game of your grandson. Maybe it's just to stand along the sideline at the ballet, not rehearsal, but what do they do? Recital. At the ballet recital, and just stand there with a rose and go, wow, you were fantastic. Maybe that's what's important. And sometimes we devalue those things for the urgent because we think we get immediate satisfaction and immediate feedback from the urgent when we solve the problems and we feel good about ourselves. And the fact is, they're not even going to remember what you did. But she will. He will. They will. And they, she, and he, when they remember, I want them to remember one thing. You're important to me. What you value, I'm going to write that down. What I value, the strength of my character that I display, and the principles I live by, those three things. What I value, the strength of my character, and the principles I live by is what demonstrates and establishes a commitment in any relationship. It's in a relationship with God. Let's look at it this way. My values are His values. The strength of my character, I'm conforming to the image of Christ. The principles I live by, the Word of God comes first. That demonstrates my commitment to Christ. So I ask this question, have you made a commitment to Christ? Oh, yes, Pastor, I've asked Jesus in my heart. Okay, let me ask you this by this criteria. Number one, have you adopted His values? Number two, are you displaying His strength of His character? Are you conforming to Christ? And number three, are you living by His principles? Well, not entirely. Then you haven't made a commitment to Christ, because that's what commitment is. And today, we have little commitment in the house of God, but we have little commitment in every level of life. We have little commitment to political parties, causes, only things that service us. And if they're servicing us for the moment, we're committed. But we're not living by the principles and the values and the character that make life, the God life in the earth. We have abandoned that because we think the short term, the easy way out is the way to go. It's not. The pathway of commitment to values, character, and the development of the principles and God's word in our life, that's the pathway of choosing. That's true commitment. So how do we do that? By investing time. You need my time if you have my commitment, because commitment is the kind, it can only be relayed to you through the conduit of my time, through the conduit of my energy, through the conduit of my money, through the conduit of my efforts, through the conduit of myself investing in you to make you successful, secure, move you, and influence you by my tenderness and my kindness, being open and transparent to you and being committed to you financially, that you're secure and that your needs are met. That's what God's calling men to become. That's what women really need today. That's how you turn a lady into a woman. The reverse is true as well. Listen to this. Failure to invest time, energy, and money and effort will communicate your lack of commitment. And when you sense someone's lack of commitment in anything, it breeds insecurity and you create risk and you break trust. If you're working in my company, and I can't see commitment from you, come to work late, take longer breaks than you should, have longer conversations with people that you shouldn't be talking to, it's a demonstration of a lack of commitment. Why? Because your energy, time, resources, all of your effort is not given to the mission. You've aborted the mission for your self-enjoyment. You're not committed to this place. How about a football team? I'm a coach. You come to practice late, you half-heartedly run to first base. You're supposed to run it out. What happens if they drop the ball? What happens if they misfire? You could have been safe, but because you didn't run all the way to the first base, you were out, and you could have been safe, and we could have won the game. Where's your commitment? You understand what I'm talking about? The same thing in church. Where's your commitment? Your time, your energy, your money, your investment, your presence, all those things. That demonstrates commitment. It's like that in every relationship. And that's where we're lacking today in this generation, is understanding of what commitment is all about. They're true in every relationship. Make a commitment tonight to cultivate these attributes in your life. I mean, go to the Lord with this, man. Lay it out on a piece of paper. Cry out to God. Get a hold of the horns of the altar. Say, God, I want to be this kind of a man. I want to be this kind of a person. I want the Word of God to be the blueprint of my life. And when I transform my thinking with the Word of God, I'm able to do anything that I set my mind to. When I have a transformed mind, I can do all things through Christ. But you can't do all things through Christ with a worldly mind, a mind that's conformed to this world. You can't do all things. All you're doing is quoting scripture, and it's hot air. It's goofiness, and it has no reality to it, and there's no power there. You can spin around, jump up and down, sing four verses of Just As I Am. You're no better off until you get a transformed mind. When you have a transformed mind, you can do all things through Christ. Because only the Word works when you work the Word, right? Amen. Most men have not been taught the above principles. They've not witnessed the demonstration of them in the life of their parents, and thus it requires a reliance on the Holy Spirit to change. You got to make a commitment to change tonight. Say, I'm not going to live another day the way I've been living. I'm changing my life, and I'm not going back. Finally, be a gentleman. I didn't even get a chance to talk about that. Acquire the basic knowledge of etiquette. If you don't know what fork goes on what side and what spoon and where your glass goes, get a book. Say, well, I've never had that training. Learn. If you don't know how to put your napkin in your lap, learn. If you don't know how to learn, if you don't know how to eat and not talk at the same time, learn. Basic etiquette. As you grow older, you get hair in your nose and your ears. Shave it. Personal grooming is so important. Take a shower. Use cologne. Well, I'm not going out anywhere. Put it on. Shave. I'm off today. Shave. Learn how to be courteous. Learn how to be courteous. Learn how to be romantic. When you go to the grocery store to pick up milk and bread, stop by the card section and just look for a card that might hit you and just bring it home. No occasion, just do it. Buy those silly looking bouquets of flowers at the checkout area just for the heck of it. She don't like them anyway, but she knows the thought is what counted. Be romantic. So I don't know how to be romantic. Buy a book. Get on the internet, Google, how to be romantic. I'll guarantee you, you'll get something on there that'll tell you how to do it. It's not that hard today. You know, today, it's so easy to do all this. How do I have better communication? Bling, 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 things come up. All I can do is read it. Now, if you want to know how to catch a certain kind of fish and what lure to use, you'll get on there. That's it, folks. That's it. Those are my five little points. Let's stand up. Lord God, thank you for tonight. We ask your blessing to be upon the teaching, that our hearts would be moved to move and influence others through our affection, through our open and honesty, through our financial responsibility, through our communication. Lord God, in every aspect of this, Father, we know that we can't do it, O God, unless you do it through us. And so now we make that commitment, Father, and we know that that commitment is really what you're calling for. Move in the hearts of your people tonight, Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.